Always record episode 126.
I'm trying to add people to the call and I'm currently able. You got Will Morgan on there, John?
I'm just trying to get Michael on real quick and I'll get Will on.
Oh, Michael's coming on too, for sure.
Yes.
Oh, damn, this is a lot of people.
Yes.
Clusterfuck.
Yes.
Let's see what happens. It's exciting.
I'm willing to stand out of the way. It's all good. I just want to listen.
I don't even want to hear myself anymore. I don't even want to hear myself talking now.
Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yeah. You're coming into a very crowded call.
Well, I'll try to be polite.
No, it's fine. I'm bringing you on to talk, so if you want you to talk, I'll be the one that's polite. And then we have William now.
Yeah, we got a total clusterfuck on our hands. and that's okay. It's an experiment. And it's not an experiment we haven't tried before.
Here comes Patrick.
Oh, Patrick is on too? Holy shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. This is out of control. We're like, we don't have any guests. I don't know.
We literally didn't have any guests 30 minutes ago, and we just started fishing, and now it's... We didn't expect this sort of response, so it's all good.
This is fantastic, though. I love this.
Oh, well, how many people are here?
We got 6 so far, and well, I think we're going to get...
Oh my god.
We got Joanna Linsky on the way too, probably.
But I don't talk anyway, so right. And Patrick and I don't talk. So
I don't talk
either. Alex doesn't talk, so it eliminates half the call.
But I'm tired of talking.
You know that's not true.
There is no way that you cannot not talk.
Really?
Yeah, that's the way
it is. I don't know. Pearl said that I drive her to tears with boredom.
I just interviewed Pearl, Peg Carter. Like before you guys got in your little spout, it's a very good interview with her too. As soon as I finish it up, it will be in the member section, I think.
Sync Renegade. But,
yep.
Okay.
Isn't she? I mean, wouldn't you say?
If she qualifies as Sync Renegade?
I guess. I mean, she's definitely on the outskirts.
That's fair. Sure. She fits into that mold.
She makes comments.
Sync Rebel.
Yeah. I like her, though. The interview that I had with her was enlightening. She couldn't stop laughing. I think people think that she's like a very negative person, and that's the opposite of what I find.
No way, dude. I'm a huge fan. That's why it was kind of like, what? Really? Oh, man, that sucks. I love your work. I share your posts and shit all the time.
Man, people, do it. Facebook personas and talking to them in person are always two very different things. I think a lot of us have noticed that in our interactions with people.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But...
This is just a conversation. I mean, it's this ongoing conversation we're having. It's not very structured. For people who like structure, I don't know if this is a place to find it.
Well, I have a place to start. This is just a classic, you know, kind of starting point, maybe. Or I don't know. I don't even know what the hell you guys have been chatting about. But for me, today was sort of interesting because I had a visit from a woman named Terry, who is my big ISIS resonator. In my life, and we used to be neighbors, but we don't live next to each other anymore. And she came to visit, and she was supposed to be here about 1, and I saw her car zip by and she didn't stop. And I was wondering what the hell. And she finally did show up, and she basically said, I know where your house is, but for some reason, my address was 317 for your house, but I don't actually live at 317. But I thought that was crazy because, of course, 317 is, St. Patrick's Day, and it has such a strong resonance for me, with the ISIS, you know, Osiris myth. So just to start that off, that was my big sink today, was that she thought I lived at 317.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's cool. Good.
Huh. What was the other... I'm trying to remember in Gematria what she said, the significance of it. I think there's a few.
The Green Man came up a little bit for me yesterday. I was going through all... I didn't make it through all of them, but I was listening to Kevin Halcott's hypnosis series. And I think the first one, he was sort of giving just a primer on sort of resonators in pop culture. That's not my strength at all, so it was news to me in a lot of ways. Not news completely, but it was just interesting to see it broken down in a coherent way. And he was focusing a lot on like Jim Carrey and Robin Williams as the Fool. And he had these, basically, he just had all their movies and all these photos of them up side by side. And it's just, it's amazing to see it all just right in front of you at one time. And so, yeah, I had a little bit of the Green Man just popping into my life too. And then, of course, Will. For some reason, Douglas Adams, and I don't know if his little Green Man is a direct reference to that. Has that been talked about before?
I don't know.
No?
Oh, Will's smiling face with the tongue out, which is just Hitchhiker's a eyes, smear with two hands. For the listener.
I would guess that's a Green Man reference. Yeah, I mean, I had a...
Hello!
Uh-oh.
Oh, shit.
Who was that?
Anyway. Go on.
Someone's using a filter.
That's the Green Man.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, last week I was riding my bike up into a place that near Port Townsend that I'd never been to before, and I passed the Elks Lodge, which is Elks Lodge number 317. And that was cool. And then my mom went to some wedding in Bremerton a couple of days ago at an Elks Lodge, which was, you know, not, of course, not the same one, but this weird ass 317 Green Man ISIS bullshit going on with me right now. So I don't know.
Huh. Yeah, my dad's an elk. He's all about it.
Everybody's dad is an elk almost. I mean, it's crazy.
Especially where you're at. I mean, you're in Idaho. My parents are in Idaho too. But yeah, no, it was funny that you'd say this because I just had a conversation right before I came up here with my housemates about my friend's friend was wearing a shirt that had an elk on it with all of these teeth hanging from its antlers by red strings and commenting on it. And I had shared a story of when I was in Weed, California, which is right by Shasta. It's funny, people get shirts and lighters and stuff that say hi on Weed, you know. It's an easy one, but there was this family at a Greyhound station who had just gotten in this crazy car accident where they were driving on the highway there at like 60 miles an hour. They hit an elk, and elks are huge. I mean, the first time I saw an elk, it took like a while to like register and like compute what I was looking at because they're so fucking enormous. It's just in the middle of the road in Yellowstone, you know. But these people hit this elk and it went into their windshield. And they were all okay, like totally okay. Like it just didn't even make sense, you know? And they were like so happy. They were some of the happiest people I've ever seen in my life because they just survived this like terrible car accident with this fucking elk, you know?
Yeah.
But it's funny because I was just saying this right before the call.
So now I'm bringing up elks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. It's these horned, you know, elks or deers or whatever, you know, they're really powerful on a mythic level. And so I don't know what to make of it. We here in Port Townsend, we've got just a shitload of deer all over because they've become acclimated to whatever, living in the town. And they're a total pain in the ass. But so now we actually have, I mean, deer are not very big compared to elk, but a buck deer is still pretty damn impressive, and they've got these, you know, huge antlers. And anyway, you steer clear of them.
Funny enough, I just typed in 317 AD famous events, and arbitrarily all of them, you know, have these typical little descriptions of stuff that's happened in the past, but the very top, festivals and events in Vancouver, and I'm in Vancouver right now for the first time in my life, spending some time here. So it's so arbitrary that would come up. Arbitrary, quote unquote. Sinky.
Sinky.
Also, yesterday on Douglas, that sparked my memory again, on Douglas's Facebook, he had this little, he changed his profile picture where he's like in front of a campfire, and they did something with the picture that made it grainy and look kind of weird. It reminded me of a comic book character that I couldn't quite put my finger on. And I know I had seen that picture somewhere, so I'm like, okay, I'm going to find it and I'm going to post it on Facebook. And I ended up finding, it wasn't what I was looking for, but there's a character called Parallax, and Parallax used to be Green Lantern before he turned evil. He was the original Green Lantern. And then he, like, his wife died or something. And then in an effort to bring her back through his powers, which is forbidden, he went crazy and became Parallax. So became sort of the Antichrist version of what he was. And then I also, then it sparked in my memory, oh yeah, what I was remembering was a picture of Loki, Thor's brother.
Oh yeah.
And I couldn't find the exact picture, but I'm like, aha, yes, Loki. He looks just like Loki, who's of course green and elk and all these things combined and follows the Rainbow Bridge. And you just posted something on the Rainbow that I posted into. And I just read a book talking a little bit about light and super luminal speeds and whatnot. So yeah, that's, you're starting all kind of shit in my head.
Oh, that's fascinating.
I'm just trying to send this picture. That's my
I got it. Yeah.
But it's, I was just at work and I just pulled up this car, parked a taxi for this local cab company called Green Cab.
Oh, I drove for Green Cab.
Really?
Santa Cruz for 3 years.
But their logo is the hexagon, of course. And just, it says Green Sat. I don't know what Sat stands for. But then Sat. The number of the cab is 412. And I don't know, I was like, I got to take a picture of this before this guy sitting in the car notices me.
It's cool, but it's 1414. That's like a major repeating number in my life. So.
Oh, yeah, me too. Yeah, it's everywhere.
It just keeps seeing that over and over. So, of course, there it is.
Yeah, and it just the green and the hexagon, I always associate that with Saturn and because of the hexagon on the poles of Saturn, and then
Green
Sat. And then for some reason, I'm not sure exactly, but there's some blog post that's like the green cubes of Saturn, where color green is associated with Saturn and the cube, and the hexagon, of course, is the cube in two-dimensional plane. It's like, I just couldn't resist taking a picture.
You know, I love the idea that, okay, in the news, you know, we've had all these really interesting sinks with the, you know, the closing of the Wall Street Journal, the, you know, the New York Stock Exchange, and these things that have been going on. And then you're showing a picture of a cab. And to me, this is another transportation communication sink. Mm-hmm. And so I actually feel that this is all somehow related to Mercury and communication, a communication breakdown perhaps, or a shift. I don't know, but there's something's really been fucked up about, you know,
the last
several days.
Well, one thing that, I mean, astrologically, Saturn is in retrograde and it dipped back into Scorpio. Every 2.5 years or so, it changes signs. But this time it went into Sagittarius. It was in Scorpio for 2 years until last fall. And then it just retrogressed into Scorpio again before going back to Sagittarius in September. So that, it seems to me like it's like we've regressed a little bit for this period of time, which is coincidentally the same time as this whole Jade Helm business is going on.
Yeah.
And we're approaching Pluto right now, and the Pluto satellite, like, we lost communication with that for some reason, mysteriously.
Jade is your green thing. That ties in.
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I just went jade hunting in Big Sur this weekend.
Sounds nice.
I couldn't help but... So I'm looking at the Gematria 317, and there's a few interesting ones, but the one that's getting me is, I think it's Mar Aba, westward. The West, which immediately I'm like the Western lands, you know. But you also have a place sown or a field, which would relate to your, you know, wheat or something.
Can I
interject real quick and ask who I'm talking to? Because there's so many voices and names that I don't. So are you Michael that was just
speaking? Yeah. Well, me. Yeah, that's me. How many Michaels are here tonight? Just one?
Just one Michael.
Okay.
I just haven't heard your voice, so I just want to make sure I know who I'm talking to. And I'm Alex.
Pleasure to meet you.
Hey, you too.
There's one Johanna in the house.
Hello.
What's up?
Hello.
Nice to meet you, Johanna.
So you're part of an experiment, all of you. This was...
I knew it, damn it.
If you send messages to people to say, hey, I know it's short notice, but you want to be on Always Record right now, this is a good response. Almost everybody that we sent messages to responded with yes and is here right now. So the experiment is a success so far.
Now you can all get out.
It's a big trick. You tricked me onto the show.
You can leave anytime. Anyone can leave anytime.
Just kidding.
No, you can never leave the Hotel California.
You just can't kill the beast.
You cannot. <It's> like, you can't leave room 237.
Yeah, see? We're stuck here for eternity, chatting to each other.
That's kind of cool. I wouldn't mind. I mean, it's weird when you patch into Skype, it makes that weird sound, and it reminds me of Doctor Who and going into the toll booth or whatever and getting sucked down in black hole. And
totally.
Kind of what it feels like.
I've said this before, but I'll say it again because it's really fucking weird. The first episode of the first season of Doctor Who was the day Kennedy was killed.
That's fucking weird.
That is creepy.
So, what the fuck? Whoa. So, my daughter has been obsessed with Doctor Who lately, like the new one. I don't know. She picked it up from kids at school or something. I don't know. But...
that sound, somebody, is that...
Joanna?
That's...
You're giving some buzzing.
What's up? Sorry. Oh,
you're good now.
I'm not doing anything. Not moving.
I kind of like it. It was like
it sounded like
throat singing or
something.
You're
on DMT, actually. That was a little weird, but go on.
No, so she's been all about...
It's those little dildo shaped things from Doctor Who. Yeah.
But I've never seen Doctor Who before. I just remember it and from early blog posts, like when it actually came out and how it has something to do with 7/7, the train bombings in London. And I remember Jake Kotze using it for the London Eye, or whatever, so forth and so on. But I watched it recently and I was just flabbergasted. There's like 42s popping off everywhere and everything's related to everything, and I was like, oh my god, I can't watch this.
Yeah, it's kind of the UK version of The Simpsons. It's been going on for so long
that it syncs with everything, that it
exactly
predicts, predicts
you just
everything.
Can't kill the beast.
Yeah.
So
it was weird.
Are you? I'm sorry. I don't want to interrupt. Are you finished with your story?
No, I kind of want to ask you. Wasn't it you who put up something about Terminator? Was it Terminator?
X-Genesis. Yeah, Genesis.
Were you flabbergasted? What did you think? Did you watch that movie? Or were you just interested in it? What was going on?
No, I haven't seen it yet. But it was just like, I don't know. I just have this feeling like from the other Terminator movies, just how weird it is that they're kind of in a way coming true. Like the Skynet thing is real. Like Google actually is working on something called Skynet. I mean, the militarization of the police is kind of happening. So I just kind of was reading that thinking, is this like an insight? Is this going to be another insight into our future? But I mean, of course, you know, won't know until it happens. But I just kind of threw it up there to see like if what other people had said, you know, would say about it, if they've watched it or whatever, because I haven't watched it yet. But I guess it sparked a couple of, I think Will Morgan reposted it and a couple
present.
Of oh, hey, what's up, Will?
Sorry, yeah.
Hey, Pegasus. Nice to see you.
Pegasus. But I was, you guys were, when I patched in, you guys were talking about elks and antlers. I couldn't help but be reminded of the Sierra Nunez connection to that and CERN. And that there's a statue of a horned god, of, you know, there at CERN, as well as
Shiva, the Shiva statue.
Shiva, right? But oh well, I guess it's just the name CERN is strikingly similar to Cernunnos, and having to do with the horned god. But there was a huge thread, I think early in June, about, or maybe it was in May, about Cernun, and that was coming up a lot. And relaxed view of to measure distances back in like the Egyptian times. And there's also, I was looking on the Parallax Wikipedia just because I knew it had something to do with that, but I kind of forgot. And it said something, it says here the term parallax is the semi-ing, it says from the lower rung of what's called the cosmic distance ladder. Which is weird because there was also a really long Jacob ladder thread to like, I don't know, a month ago about the new building, whatever, the World Trade Center 2, whatever it's called. So anyway, all these kinds of things are tying in with other things.
Cool.
Are you able to record?
Yeah, David and I are both recording, so that's covered. We just need a solid connection, so.
Well, yeah. I'm glad I can be your connection.
Yes, that's very important.
I don't know if we want to wait till Johnny comes back. And also, we lost Will Morgan, too.
Shit.
I'm adding him back. Let's see what happens.
You're probably just done, dude. They're like, this is crazy. You got too many people on Always Record today.
We manage with the members hang out. We can manage
that. Right. We've done more than this before.
Yeah,
I get that.
Google Man, has there been a bigger Always Record?
Yeah.
I thought the biggest was like, it was like Jeremy, Andras, Will, you, Bill, Ellen.
Oh, there was that six. Ear rape one was pretty big.
The ear rape.
But episode. There was actually, it might have been a bigger one was like the Care Bear Stairway to Heaven.
I thought it was just Care Bear Stairway to Heaven.
Whatever the fuck, yeah.
There was one with John Phil Ryan and Mark LeClaire and like six other people. I don't know if that was
that's
a big
one I'm thinking of. That was crazy. All right. Well, let's just get to it.
Yeah,
people
all good.
Fall in, they fall in.
I thought she was bringing in. She mentioned Parallax, and I wanted to jump off that plane. But
it was getting fucking trippy.
Yeah, but just well, if Shiva's outside CERN, I know that's cool because obviously Shiva's god of destruction, and CERN they're destroying particles.
Oh, totally. Yeah, totally into that. So, she's dancing away right in front of CERN. The funny thing is that CERN, to me, is Lucerne, which is, you know. Which is the kind of milk that Dairy Gold serves. That's their brand. So I always think of, for some reason, when I see CERN, I see milk, which is fucked up. But anyway, that's just weird connection.
And from like destruction comes creation too, because not only are they destroying particles there, but they're also creating particles. So it's this weird, you know, wave particle situation or yin yang. So it's two things going on at once.
Which is why the statue isn't really that out of place, because Shiva's dance sort of does this. It's this cosmic dance of destruction and rebirth. And if you think about it, those particles are spinning around. It's like dancing around or spinning around to destroy and create and all these sorts of things. It's actually, you know, from a conspiracy or even just throw in like a 2% automatic paranoia for that's kind of freaky, this giant government agency, you know, a quasi-government agency with this statue of a god of destruction himself.
They didn't put it there. It was a gift from India, Indian government gift to Sir. Dancing on the devotee.
Yeah.
Kind of classic.
I was just thinking just like the Statue of Liberty is a gift.
Right.
You know?
A gift, nudge.
Yeah, a gift. A Trojan. Yeah, exactly.
Trojan horse.
Yeah.
There's also, of course, the classic crazy lightning horse out on the Denver airport.
Totally. I was just thinking that as you guys were talking. Yeah.
And the statue of an Anubis, I think, also, which I actually saw, and it's fucking creepy.
Alex, do you know who the statue of the horse outside Denver airport, do you know who that's a gift from?
No, I don't. Do you?
No, I didn't realize it was a gift.
Maybe
that's
it is.
That's cool. Huh.
I'm going to look it up.
Well, you know, the other place there's this big statue of a sculpture of that's called Shiva is at the Very Large Array in New Mexico. And I know this because I went there specifically to check out the Very Large Array and the whole and just soak up the whole contact, you know, meme. Whoa, what was that?
Shuffle.
Yeah. And so they've got a big they've got a big sculpture there called Shiva as well, which, anyway, he seems to be everywhere. She.
Well, Shiva's Shakti, right? So Shiva's, yeah. Shiva's the lingam. She's the container. She's the
isn't
vessel.
Isn't she traditionally depicted as blue also? Or am I imagining that? I don't know. Yeah. But I was just reading about the blue Mustang statue at Denver, and apparently the guy who made it was a American sculptor of Mexican descent, but he was killed in his studio when a large section of the blue Mustang fell on him.
No way.
No shit.
Severed an artery in his leg.
Well, you know, that's really weird because the Ford Motor Car makes a car named the Mustang, and their most iconic color is blue for their Mustang. I'm trying to remember the exact name. It was like, you know, I don't know, Wow Blue or Big Blue or I don't know. It's just very electric blue. So I guess that sinks.
But the idea that the thing would then crush him is very much like what David was saying. We said dancing on the devotee is actually in a lot of images of Shiva. There is either a baby or like some adept under the feet of Shiva. I mean, in classic images, you might show her actually dancing on, she's dancing on her husband, right?
Shiva is the one being danced upon. It's Shakti who is dancing on Shiva.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Kali dancing.
That's right. Kali. I'm sorry.
But okay. Shiva will definitely dance on the person who's sort of giving themselves up to this. It's a very similar imagery, but the idea that the Mustang would fall and crush the guy as sort of almost like this like blood sacrifice, and not even in necessarily intentional sort of way, but the idea that this thing would then crush him under its, you know, pretty fucking wild.
Yeah.
And this has triggered something really personal and minor in my mind, but one of my favorite, it's not even one of my favorite techno artists, but one of my favorite techno songs by a guy named Mord Fusting, and it's called Lick the Rainbow. So just again, Michael, you just you brought Mustang into it, Rainbow into it, and then Will as this character with the giant tongue on the call. So that all adds up for me.
I was listening to Serge Gainsbourg's Ford Mustang yesterday. You guys know that one?
No, what is that a song? What is that?
Serge Gainsbourg.
Oh, Serge
Gainsbourg is a French jazz musician. Charlotte Gainsbourg's father. So the woman who's in all three of Lars von Trier's newest films, black-haired woman. Like in Melancholia, she was opposite Kirsten Dunst's character, Justine. Whatever. I was listening to a song that's just an ultra-classic jazz song called Ford Mustang by Serge Gainsbourg yesterday.
Well, that's good then. You just went way off into esoteric. Michael has no idea what you're talking about, but I appreciate the sync nonetheless.
Oh, sure. Well, it's pretty syncy. It would be a long-winded thing to explain.
Yeah.
You can do long-winded things here, but do you have enough people here? I don't need to take the attention.
In keeping with this free association that is going on, the Ford triggered me because I just started watching last night the documentary Everything is a Rich Man's Trick, I think.
Oh,
is what it's called. And they're just talking about Henry Ford and his ardent support of the Nazis and how he was awarded the highest honor in Nazi Germany by Hitler himself. And Hitler had a portrait of him on his office wall.
He was a famous anti-Semite.
Yeah. They Ford company built all of the trucks for the Third Reich. And so...
So he had the Bhagavad Gita by his bed and Ford's image on his wall. We know that much about his face.
A fucking weirdo.
So if you realize in Brave New World, right, Ford is sort of the religious figure. Does that then imply that Brave New World is the evolution of the Third Reich? Or are those not?
Sure.
The Fourth Reich, right?
Sure.
And that's what I'm getting at. Yeah, like I wonder if that was intentional or if it's almost like the coincidence.
Whoa!
I think that's terrible.
Whoa, that's terrible.
Whoa.
I think we just got hit with lightning, man. Lightning.
The swill is square.
Yes.
I guess I'm just implying or I'm asking, because that could go two ways, right? Is that one is just that Aldous Huxley would see Ford as this huge political figure and just make him this, you know, use that name and that sort of history. But the other idea there, if really that was Hitler's sort of love affair, that could have a whole other meaning.
That kind of brings together the Model T and the Volkswagen, and I don't know if I really want to go there.
Oh, shit, you're right, though.
Totally.
Yeah, 666 on the Tau Cross.
Right, because you got the VVV is the way it translates, like if you're looking at the symbol in a circle, right?
Yeah.
Vav, 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 666. Yeah, I don't know. I just immediately my mind is all like Little Miss Sunshine, The Shining. Little Miss Sunshining. Yeah. When they're like going back, when she's with the grandfather and they're going back and forth and they're doing the lion roar and they're like practicing their lion roar on the bed. I don't know if you remember that. He's like, oh, and it's like, what is the significance of the lion roar right now? It's like they, you know what I mean? Like I see the strength.
As the beast from MGM.
Yeah. And the yellow.
And the grandfather's a heroin addict. Just like Crowley was.
It's true. He looks like Crowley in that movie in particular.
Yeah.
Alan Arkin. Actually, Amy did karaoke with Alan Arkin at one point on Maui. Whatever. It's just a little thing that happened.
But Alex, you just said AA, right?
No, I didn't.
That was me.
Oh, but, someone said AA. But
I wish I would have.
No, Patrick, yeah, that's another good little thing there.
Yeah, remember Aldous Huxley died the same day JFK did?
Oh, shit, that's true.
So Aldous Huxley died.
Doctor Who.
And Doctor Who.
And C.S. Lewis died also.
Yeah.
And the Beatles.
Right.
With the Beatles. So there's Meet the Beatles and With the Beatles. And then 9 songs off of With the Beatles ended up on Meet the Beatles, which was the first U.S. Beatles album. But the day that it came out in the U.K. with the Beatles was the day Kennedy was shot. So we cleared that up in one of the last episodes.
And Dr. Strangelove was originally supposed to
appear that day.
That's strange.
Old news. That is strange.
And Roger's daughter got married on Mad Men.
Okay.
Totally. That's true. Well, the thing about that is, all right,
here we go.
It's like you're at the campfire a little bit.
No, campfires are banned here in Washington State because we've got the drought. Oh. Man, here in Washington, you know, which is the green thing, you know, it's like the green state, and but it's actually a desert this summer because of the drought. So this again syncs really strongly with me with this whole fucking Egyptian myth, and you know how I keep getting all these weird 317s, and then you know, and of course Set is the god of the desert, and I get, you know, who murdered Osiris. So I get all these, I don't know, it's shit. Shit's going on. Everybody's getting really crazy syncs. This is just my little area of nuttiness.
It's weird when the things keep reoccurring. It's like I was trying to explain to somebody, like, what is the significance of a synchronicity? It's like, it's not just that you saw the fucking pig show up. It was that you saw the pig with the number with like, and there's like next to something random, like a baby bottle. And you're like, how many times is a fucking different scenario gonna come up where this pig and this baby bottle come together with this number? Like, it's, you know, that's the thing, man. It's like, if you're looking for a number, you're gonna spot it. But like, when the number is repeatedly associated with a particular thing, that's where it gets uncanny.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The example for me today was, I was driving and I came in, there was a wreck and I had to take a detour and it was very complicated and I had to drive down the street. There's a long string of cars. I had to wait for all these cars to come by so I could turn around and go. And then when I finally got turned around, the car that I ended up behind, the license plate was 237. And Yeah, I mean, it's like this is almost a daily occurrence for me.
Yeah. I mean, it really makes you think that you're just living in a fucking, you know, holographic universe program because it's just so insanely stupid.
That's interesting timing for the 237 thing too, because we're like we had our serious holiday was July 4th, right?
Yeah.
And then leading up to 7/23, which is the first day of the dog days, and it's like serious, and the 237, 7/23 phenomenon. Like I equate 237 with Sirius now, even though, you know, everyone's going to equate it with what they want to equate it with. You're going to equate it with the moon for your own reasons, the Jay Widener, like the distance to the moon or whatever, you know? I mean, I don't know. Yeah. 42, which, obviously, because 2 times 3 times 7 is 42.
One thing that was, I know, in the latest Star Trek movie, which was not very good, but there's a part where they're flying back to Earth very quickly, and they say, they come out of hyperspace, and he says, they're like, where are we? And he's like, we're 237,000 kilometers from the Earth. And the next shot is they're right next to the moon.
Yeah, so it was like, it was very transparent.
Maybe the exact difference is, the exact distance is not what Jay Widener says, but it's close, and it seems to be, I don't know, associated with it. So that's that, you know.
Yeah. Well, I you know, when on July 4th, I was going to go to this big fireworks display, which was going on by my, which was being thrown by my dentist, which was like this weird dental tooth sink. And I was all set to go do this. But then it got to be too much of a hassle, so I didn't. And so I went over to a friend's house who have this really awesome view of the West and the Northwest. And so we watched the sunset, which was really just better fireworks than, you know, all our man-made shit. It was just unbelievably beautiful. And Venus was rising, setting, sorry. And it was the it was very near the conjunction of Venus and Jupiter on that day. And it just was very cool. And I was sitting there watching this. And then off to the right, I saw this other star appear just very, very, I mean, like out of nowhere. And nobody else saw this, of course. And it was as bright as Venus, or maybe even brighter, and it lasted for a few seconds, and then it went away.
I see that. I've seen that happen on a couple of occasions.
Okay. And, you know, I'm trying to think, well, what was that? Because it wasn't an airplane, because I know what airplanes look like. It wasn't a planet, because planets persist. It wasn't a meteor, because they zip by. And, you know, and so it was, but it was very gentle and not really, you know, outstanding or anything as far as the sighting, but it was a kind of a cute little UFO sighting for me on July 4th. And I've just kind of categorized it as like Vallis did a little quick, decloaking. It was cool for me, and then just cloaked himself again.
For my little thing story of that is that Eric and I decided we don't do this very often, but we just took a blanket out outside and laid down to look at the stars or whatever, and you know we think, oh, maybe we'll see a UFO or whatever, thinking like hoping we will maybe, but, you know, whatever. We look up the sky, and not 5-10 seconds, it seemed like there was this very bright light that I thought was a star at first. It wasn't moving; it just was bright. And then it just sort of started to slowly move away, and then it just kind of faded out. And just in that moment, so it's like, I don't know. Look and you shall find, or whatever.
I'm forgetting where. It's either in Oregon or Washington. There's a guy, like James Gillingham or something. He has like a ranch, and he invites people to come, and there's all these strange UFO lights that go on there. And I don't know if anyone's heard of it, and I'm forgetting his name.
I don't know what you're talking about, yeah.
Okay, so you at least heard of it.
Sure. When we were doing the Olympia Sync Summit, you know who Freeman is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. Freeman had contacted me and said, hey, you know, I want to come to the Sing Summit. And I was like, sure, we'd love to have you. Do you have a way to get there? You know, he ended up not coming because we couldn't provide him transportation money. But he was like, when we were first like still kind of planning it, he said, hey, I know this guy from this ranch, and it's not that far from Olympia. It's maybe like an hour or so. Like, what if we did a night of the Sing Summit at this ranch? You know, take the drive down or whatever. So that's he wanted to do in a bear, which could have been interesting. You have a bunch of sink heads in a ranch. Like, what?
Oh, I know. It'd be like fucking Close Encounters. It's hilarious. What's the name of the ranch? Anybody know?
I think it's SETI.
The SETI.
SETI, yeah.
And funny, exactly. Some of the first images of green UFOs. Stark.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, Michael, that might be worth taking a trip down. It's probably not that far from you, where you are.
No, not at all. I'll definitely go down and attempt an abduction.
How do you all feel about Freeman and his work and personality? I'm just curious, since he tends to buy into some things that seem.
We don't resonate on all points.
Sure.
But we've had him on the show, and it was great. I really like him. I like his style. He's like a Rainbow Family kind of guy, you know.
Right. I love listening to one of his stories about just hitchhiking and the serendipity and of his journeys, and just seemed like, I don't know, he's got it figured out in some ways.
Yeah, I think as a researcher, I think he strikes me as maybe a tad gullible, and that's probably a harsh word to use, but
right.
But, you know, in that respect, it's like, if you're open to everything, you know, yeah, let a lot of shit in. But I, at the same time, I make every effort to be that open.
Oh, yeah.
So I have a respect for that. And at the same time, definitely a sort of like, you know, sometimes I'm like, yo, come on, man, really? And then, you know, but at the same time, I kind of respect the willingness to kind of entertain all thoughts.
Oh yeah.
It's hard. It's a mixed feeling.
Whenever I'm listening to someone, I tend to just like buy wholeheartedly into everything they're saying while they're saying it. And then it's kind of afterwards that I start to be like, well, okay, let's do it. Let's start sifting out the,
let's let my ego come in here and figure out this shit. But
great practice.
Yeah, but while it's going on, it's fun, you know?
Obama is a time-traveling clone that has been to Mars and et cetera. Of course! Makes perfect sense!
Obviously. A
few hours later, it's like, what the fuck is that talking about? But maybe.
Always attention me.
I love how there's the sizzle that just keeps showing up from Will.
Will, you're officially fucked. What's going on?
Oh, man. What a bummer.
Sorry, he can listen. He can at least listen. You can hang out, Will. You just can't talk. Just don't have it in your mic. Oh, God.
He'll talk like some robot from a bad science fiction movie. Like, every now and then, he'll just interject with, like, static squawks. Oh, I think Will is saying
it's like translating R2-D2. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, good one, boy.
Don't get technical with me.
It's funny because the fucking face with it that just keeps on sticking its tongue out at you. All right.
So it looks like Joanna can't come back either. I was trying to wait till she was back to say this, but she was talking about the whole horned god thing. I went to the movies about a week ago, which I go to movies like once a year, if that, maybe once every 2 years. A trailer for the new Pan movie. It is like Pan, not Peter Pan. The logo is like a pan flute, and they make a whole thing about how he's got this pan flute necklace. And it seemed to me that they were really going more in a sort of Pan's Labyrinth angle with it than a, than a, or like sort of paying homage to the name in a more literal or direct sense than in anything I've seen before. Do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, Hook did that too, though, really. I mean, Hook made a point of like pan, you know, pan airways, pan, you know, he did a thing there. But I mean, so Pan is a son of Hermes. That's why you have Mount Hermon is also had the base that has a statue for Pan. And Pan is the dweller on the threshold, right? So there's that whole thing. Like they say that Jesus had his transfiguration on Mount Hermon, which is significant because that was the point at which he, you know, had his communication with the Supernals or whatever. He was at the threshold of his whole deal there before the crucifixion. And so.
I think, what is it, Francis, St. Francis, to me, totally resonates Pan, you know, at least the Catholic. I think it's interesting that our modern Pope Francis is kind of leading the way into, you know, this more, well, Pan, Earth, kind of consciousness.
Right, it's literally the all.
Yeah. But it's not, but it's the all, but Pan is definitely a, you know, a nature god of, you know, on top of all that, or maybe beneath all that, whatever.
So with someone like the Pope, right? Yeah, is that really a representation of any, oh my God, you're alive. You're human. But let me finish my thought and then you can say whatever you want. So like, I was listening to a podcast earlier and they were talking about Francis and how you could almost liken him to an Obama figure where it's like, he says a lot of nice things, but he's still the head of this totalitarian state. And
he's still a Jedi Knight,
right?
Or, you know, the opposite.
Right. Yeah. And so like, sure. I respect that he's a living symbol, but I've always questioned, does this really indicate some sort of transition period we're going through? I'm not so sure. I'm really not so sure. I think it's, the symbols are alive. And I think that's giving us that indication, but is it leading anywhere? We might just be going in a circle. It's like, I don't think time's linear.
I think it's an excellent question. Like, you know, they say the whole, the way presidential elections have changed with the advent of television, you know, like if you look back at like the Nixon debates and stuff like that, right? So we have this, the way television has changed politics, and is it almost like all the more reason that you need a figurehead that is, you know, as you said, you use the phrase lip service. I mean, that's really, you know, I question very often, is this an actual transition, a slow, steady transition to a kinder, gentler, fascist, you know, authoritarian system? Or is it just a clown gets up on stage and goes, sure, whatever you want me to say, I'll fucking say it.
Well, it's probably both, because it's like, definitely, you know, who's been talking about this recently? How 2012, you know, after 2012, things really seem to be accelerating in, well, a generally negative way, you know, globally, you know, news-wise and such. I mean, we've got, you know, this threat with, you know, this constant threat of now thermonuclear war possible with Russia, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. ISIS, we, you know, and the whole naming of this threat as the mother goddess. I mean, we don't have to go there, but it's fucked up. And then this, anyway, things have gotten really dramatically and more intense, you know, with the news and symbolism and shit since 2012. And so I thought that, I don't know where I'm going with this exactly, but I thought that this is a good, yet another good example of the Pope, of this, an acceleration of something. I'm not saying it's good, but there's something going on.
Something major going on, yeah.
I mean, we all see it and document it, you know, on our blogs and, you know, and stuff.
I think complexity is increasing, and so acceleration and complexity go hand in hand. Now, that doesn't mean we're moving towards anything better at all. It could mean we're just devolving that much quicker.
Yeah.
And speaking of popes, it's like that brings up Robert Anton Wilson, and at least in Prometheus Rising, he talks about, I think he's referencing Finnegan's Wake, where he's talking about how we see these sort of back and forth cycles between patriarchy and matriarchy, and maybe we're seeing that play out. I'm willing to entertain that a bit, but at the same time, I feel like that's really jumping the gun and almost playing apologetics for the shitty behavior of individual actors. I don't know. I don't want to ever excuse too much in the name of deterministic Aeon progression and shit like that. No idea that that's happening. That is all a belief system. And it's like, what's the difference between someone saying that and the fundamentalist saying the whatever this is going to come? You know, I don't know. Sometimes I have a hard time distinguishing. And we can say, well, sync is the thing telling us that makes it different, but I don't find that terribly convincing.
We got right. 25 years, according to the Hebrew calendar, for the return of the Messiah. That's so, like, if you look at, like, you know, the Marriage of Heaven and Hell from William Blake, when he says where the doors of perception come from, you know, that paragraph where he's saying, what is it, the ancient tradition that the world will be consumed in fire at the end of 6,000 years is true, as I have heard from hell and all that. That's in 25 years, thereabouts. Pretty crazy. The actual prophecy.
But are we taking that literally, or more like an apocalypse thing that's just like more unveiling? So it's like
I'm thinking you take it how you want to take it. I'm just saying that the return of the Messiah is supposed to be in 25 years, according to the Jewish faith.
Well, according to who? 25 years?
According to the Jewish calendar, the way that
25 years from what?
From now.
Wait, what?
From now in the Jewish calendar, the date that they actually gave for the end of the 6,000 years that later on Blake was speaking to.
Okay.
That's 2040. Years now. Yeah.
2040. There's your 4-2.
Yeah.
Well, David, I mean, you've researched it probably more than any of us. I mean, how do you view that, or how do you read that?
Oh, I mean, I wish I could speak more to it. That's not something I actually talk about much with my teacher. I don't, like, go into the specifics around that one, but I do know that that's what it is.
Okay, can we go there, though? Because, you know, Patrick, you just sort of quietly put up the seventh talk that Baruch did, the seventh video in Baruch's series, right? And in there, he says something that, you know, is not all that different from, as you were saying, as what any other religious organization always says, is that, like, you know, tomorrow, the sun will come out tomorrow. Yeah, it's shit now, but one day it'll be good and everything will be fine. And, it, you know,
it's he's saying this, that in a non-dual recognition, though, realize.
Sure. No, I'm not trying to make this about Baruch. I'm just saying it's this question of how do we escape that? Like, how, you know, as a spider descends onto my desk from above.
I haven't watched the seventh video yet, but if he's speaking to the you know, the world that is to come and this and that, it's not a matter of concepts of positive and negative. So it's not like the sun will come out tomorrow necessarily. It's just that things will be reconciled, things will be purified. And that's what happens. I mean, that's what nature does. That's what the existence does, you know? You know, no matter how far away you roam, the universe remains your center. There's no way around it.
Sure. So, but I guess, all right, specifically he's talking about the idea of that Malkut and Tiferet want to be in harmony.
Right.
And that they're existing out of harmony, but there will come a point where they, this age where they harmonize and stay harmonized.
Totally.
Forever.
Right. Yeah, Rama. Yeah,
sorry, I was getting an echo.
Yeah.
Okay. Here. Can we talk about Terminator for a second, real quick?
Sure. Sure. Judgment Day. Terminator. Judgment Day. I mean, it's totally irrelevant, right? It's,
right.
Is it the age of glory or the age of tribulation or both? You know.
Well, you guys remember what Joanna was saying earlier? She said how she put it up because it had so much prophetic properties. The old one. She was wondering if the new one had prophetic properties.
Yeah.
And then we all know about the Sophia, like Sophia, right? The old lady who basically said that she wrote Terminator and that they took it from her.
Oh, yeah. Sophia Stewart.
Because, yeah, she said that, you know, she was writing about the symbol of it as being Jesus. Like, it's Judgment Day. It's John Connor's Judgment Day, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's like a pretty sinky thing for us. We all know that Terminator 2 came out in 1991. The internet started in 92. So Skynet's kind of like the internet, so forth and so on.
Sure.
Yeah.
Anybody who has IMDb capability right now, look up Terminator. Genesis, the newest one, the Genesis, Terminator Genesis.
I'm looking at it right now. Is there something specific you're looking for?
Yeah, the names of the actors. Because in the original Terminator, it was like, that's Jesus, this is Judgment Day, and his name was John Connor. Now look at everybody involved in this movie.
Wasn't there some sync thing a couple days ago where there was someone came out? What's the name of the heroine in the original Terminator series?
Sarah Connor.
Yeah. And didn't someone named Sarah Connor say something like it was about robots doing this or that, and of course the sync,
the thing that happened.
Yeah, and I don't remember. I don't pick up on that kind of stuff.
Yeah, she said something like she had never seen the movies or whatever. She made some comment about the computers taking over.
It was a girl tweeted about in a Volkswagen plant, which is funny, right? Because it's going back to the Volkswagen. It was a robot in a Volkswagen automobile manufacturing plant killed one of the workers, and she. Oh. All right, but then you also realize in the last few days we had the stock market.
All of the stock market. All the computers took over.
Yeah, and then you have, what was the United Airlines? Or I think it's United
They
Wall Street Journal.
Landed every single plane.
Yeah,
and every Wall single Street plane Journal, was grounded.
And it was very much a 911 kind of thing because that was exactly the same thing that happened after 911. You know, trading stopped, planes grounded.
Right. The weird thing that's going on, there's an echo.
It goes happening on Alex's end. Alex, you have either turn your speakers down or headphones or something.
Well, I'm using headphones. I don't know why it would be me, but I'll try to.
Oh, Alex Fulton, he's in on this now. I see. There's like people coming in and out. There's like all kinds of madness going on this call.
I don't know. I turned off my recorder. Maybe that was contributing.
And see, Skynet has been prohibiting us from getting together all night.
Yeah, they don't want us to talk about this.
So in the new Terminator, Jason Clark plays John Connor, and John Connor is now a bad guy in this movie. Machines take him over and start over again. But the guy who plays Kyle Reese, his name is also Jay Courtney. And of course, this is produced and everything by James Cameron. And so
why is he a bad guy now?
The computers take him over. Like, this is like a reboot in a way, but it's not. It's like an alternate timeline to the original. Like, it's weird. They try to do the original scenes in the first Terminator. They try to reproduce them, but you quickly realize the only thing that's the same about any of these scenes is Arnold. where Bill Paxton is in Terminator, like a different young man who looks exactly like Paxton and whatever, so forth. Like, they try to recreate the scenes using similar actors, but the only actor who's the same is Arnold.
There is only one Arnold.
Well, they do this crazy thing where they have a young Arnold, like old Arnold fights young Arnold, and they even do a close-up and it's not CGI. You're like, that's fucking young Arnold. How the hell do they have a young Arnold there? Like, they totally did this makeup job on this guy to make, but nobody else looks the same. So. But you remember, okay, so the John Connor, James Cameron was the sink. Now it's times three. We have Jay Courtney, who becomes the good guy. He's the new John Connor, even though it's Kyle Reese. Do you get what I mean? And the old John Connor is played by Jason Clarke. And then Emilia Clarke actually plays the Sarah Connor. So there's like this whole weird name game going on right there.
Linda Hamilton. So, okay, dude. Okay, so I'm tripping out because my housemate was just – I showed him Joe's new video And he was like, he just walked up to me and he was like, "You've seen a movie with Tommy Lee Jones called Black Moon Rising? So now this is a question for you guys. Have you ever seen a fucking movie with Tommy Lee Jones called Black Moon Rising?"
I own the VHS, but I've not seen it.
It's Tommy Lee Jones and Linda Hamilton, and apparently they cross the two towers on a fucking wall or something, and some, and then something explodes into the two towers or whatever.
Whoa, I'm going to watch that really soon.
It's, he was like, dude, this is exactly what Joe is talking about, and it happens.
Wait, do you realize that in the Batman movie with Tommy Lee Jones playing Two-Face, he flies a helicopter into the Statue of Liberty?
Yeah, that's right.
And he hits that third eye sign.
So Will and I just spoke on the phone last week about the helicopter 9/11 since. So here we have.
Oh yeah, And Putin is remember the infamous cover of the. I've got an echo again. Sorry. The Economist that had Putin holding a helicopter. So that's like relates now suddenly to somebody throwing something into the World Trade Center. It's like Putin's holding the helicopter.
Oh, like a paper airplane tossing it in.
I think we need to give Alex Fulton a little minute to talk here for a second. I think he wants to say something. Fulton?
No, I didn't. I had nothing. But thank you for considering me. I'm just listening.
Okay, somebody put up Beauty and the Beast, Linda Hamilton. She was also in King Kong Lives. King Kong Part 2, from continuation of the one from the 1970s where he dies off the Twin Towers. He actually lives. They put a robotic heart into him. They
give him I remember that.
They give him a heart transplant, and then they get him a Lady Kong. They get him a girl, and then he has a baby. But the thing is weird is that when he's presented the baby, like, they show the mother with the baby and Linda Hamilton. And Linda Hamilton's in the foreground, and the other two are in the background. And she's, like, looking directly at the camera as the mother's giving her the baby. So it's almost like Linda Hamilton is the mom. Do you know what I'm saying?
And she's then they like, she's like Rosemary then. Because that's right. The Beast. Yeah.
Right. And then that's how that series ends, the 1987 series.
What, Michael, what did you just say? If Linda Hamilton is Rosemary having the Rosemary, like the Beast child, because yes. In Terminator, she gives birth to the Savior child, which right. Now you're saying is the Beast. The Antichrist.
Is the Beast.
Oh, yes. The Beast.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
So well, guys, I was just thinking about the Volkswagen being 666, you know, blah, blah, blah. And that actually means people's car. And of course, six is the number of men. So
right.
That makes perfect sense.
So exactly. She becomes, okay, in Beauty and the Beast, that series, she says that she's canceling, she's not in the series anymore. And then that's when their ratings dipped off because nobody wanted to see that show without Linda Hamilton. If you remember Ron Perlman, aka Hellboy, or the Beast, was the Beast, who's about to have twins now if they ever continue that series. But so Linda Hamilton has the baby in like the very last episode. Like that's like the end of the series. She has this kid because they were trying to increase ratings, so they got her pregnant. They
that's
made her.
What it's all about.
Right. They made her have the baby and then she dies in that episode and the ratings dip off anyways. So they never really like the kid. You never see the kid. The kid just happens and then the show's over.
It's funny because at the beginning of Hellboy, the very first introduction of Hellboy is he's a baby that's born out of like this.
Right. This time portal.
Fell in the door and you fell on the floor with your hand on the knob, looking up and abruptly forget what you're thinking. Fire alarms go off in your head. You live in the nightgown of the sullen moon. Out the windows lean into the room. In the nightgown of the sullen moon. drug trip, it's not a drug trip, so you feel a bit insulted. Spacewalk is like a spacewalk with the corresponding way. Lost and you're nothing but air with your hand in the air and your shoelaces tied up together with care. There's a feeling of boredom, of the big whoredom following dressing up in the nightgown of the sun and moon. Have the windows lean into the
Thank you for listening to this broadcast from the SyncBook Radio. If you enjoyed this episode, there's so much more content waiting for you at thesyncbook.com. Tune in to our other SyncBook Radio programs, 42 Minutes, Always Record, the Marty Leeds Math Magical Radio Hour, Synchronize, Pentimental, and Sync Quick News. Our newest episodes are always free, and members get access to our full archive of over 600 hours. You'll find all of this, as well as our books and videos, at thesyncbook.com.